It's Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. I'm just going to read one verse here. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." I want to preach to you for just a few minutes tonight on a simple subject, and the title I guess I'd give this is Faith and Fulfillment. Faith and Fulfillment. If it's all right, I'm going to pray the Lord would anoint this message. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that we felt here tonight. Dear God, I'm asking that you would anoint this message. Lord, help me to convey your word to us, Lord, and I ask that you would speak to our hearts what you would have us to hear, Lord. I ask you to encourage us and remind us that you do have a work for each and every one of us. We love you, Jesus. We're believing you to touch us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Well, you'll get to know me a little better as time goes on, but one thing about myself that I'll just be real upfront and transparent with you right off the bat is that I am not the most patient person in the world. I don't like to wait a whole lot. If you were to ask me why I'm not a doctor, I would just say because I don't have many patients. I know that was bad. That was a bad joke. And you'll learn that I tell really bad jokes too. But I don't like to wait on things. This last week, our van had some problems, and so we took it to the shop, and the guy that diagnosed it, it was just kind of one of those tire rotation, oil change kind of places. He diagnosed what the problem was, and we have an extended warranty on our van, so they called it in, and he told them something that it wasn't, and they wouldn't cover what he said when really they would cover what it was. So I took it to a dealership, and they had to call, and they sent out an inspector. So long story short, I was without a van for 10 days, and that's frustrating. When you're a one-vehicle family, to not have a van is a bad deal. We were able to bum off my mom and dad, get some rides from them. But if we wouldn't have had their vehicles around, we would have been in a lot of trouble. I don't like to wait. It frustrates me when I have to wait. When I go in a restaurant and I see people that got there after me get their food and eat before I get my food, it's frustrating. Am I the only one that frustrates? I hope I'm not a terrible person because of that. I'm not a big fan of waiting. But it is necessary. There are times that we have to wait. I remember I was engaged. Me and Kayla had a pretty long engagement. I don't really know what long. It seemed long to me. We were engaged for 11 months. And I remember the months leading up to that wedding, it literally seemed like time just stopped. It was like every day took about 36 hours instead of 24. It didn't seem like time was moving at all. The anticipation for that wedding, the anticipation for that day, all the planning, everything that went into it, so much excitement. And it seemed like it would never get here. But all that excitement, all of that anticipation, all of that planning was based on nothing more than a promise. We had never had a wedding before. We had never had that occasion, but we were planning every detail about it. We were making preparation. We were buying things for something that had never taken place before. We were buying food for people that had never come to our wedding before. All of it was taking place on nothing more than a promise. And there are some times that we begin to work for God and God calls us to believe things that we have no tangible evidence of it taking place. We really can't put our hands on anything and say, this is how I know that God's going to do it. This is how I see that it's going to work out. But we have to embark on that journey on the promise that God is going to do what he says. We read in our text about a man named Simeon, and Simeon is one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture. There's only a few verses that talk about it, but it's such an awesome story to me, and it's very close to the Christmas story, and actually I read this last Christmas or the year before, and God just really started speaking with me and encouraging me from this story. So I just want to share with you what I got out of this, and the first thing that I want to look at tonight is Simeon's plan, because Simeon had a plan for his life, and all of us in here, we have our own plans, right? We have our own ideas of what we're going to do and what we're going to be and how we're going to be used and how we're going to do this and that. We make our own plans. We make our agenda. Simeon had that plan. Simeon, a lot of scholars believe, was the son of a man named Hillel, who was the head of the Sanhedrin. So Simeon wanted to be like his dad, wanted to follow in his dad's footsteps and be a member of the Sanhedrin. Scholars also believe that Simeon was the father of Gamaliel, who taught Paul and was a very knowledgeable man in the Word of God. So Simeon was a man with a great background. He was a man with a lot of promise, and he was a man that wanted to be like his dad and follow in his footsteps. And so in pursuit of that dream, Simeon did everything that he needed to do in preparation to be a member of the Sanhedrin. And Simeon became a member of the Sanhedrin. He was fulfilling his plan. He was following daddy's footsteps. It's like the son that grows up under a mechanic. He starts working in the shop at 14, eventually runs the shop. Construction, it was like that. It was handed down throughout the ages, throughout the generations. Simeon was following with promise to one day be the replacement of Eliel, be the head of the Sanhedrin. He had promise of great things according to his plans. And many of us pursue things because they make sense to us, because we understand how God can use us in this capacity. If we have an ability to sing, then God must be calling me to music ministry. If I have an ability to speak, God must be calling me to preach. And he does use our talents, but just because we have a talent in an area doesn't mean that that's God's plans for our life. One thing that I've found, and this may just be my personal experience, and you may not bear witness with this at all, but usually it's what I'm not good at that God calls me to do. Usually it's what I'm not comfortable with that God says, I want you to step into that avenue of ministry. Because see, Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh, and he told God, would you take this away from me? I'd be more comfortable if you took it away. A lot of times we say, God, I'd be more comfortable if you put me in this avenue of ministry, if you'd allow me to do this. And when Paul told him to take this thorn in the flesh away, God said, no. 3 times Paul prayed the same prayer. I know you've never prayed the same prayer over and over, even though God gave you the answer. I have. Felt like God spoke to me, but I said, Lord, no, I know what you're saying, but you just don't understand where I'm coming from. The omniscient God doesn't understand where we're coming from. That's the kind of prayers that we pray. But Paul said, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And God said, no, because my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That phrase, made perfect, means to bring to light. And what that is, I don't know if you've ever gone to any kind of a play or a drama or something like that. That a scene will be going on over here and the spotlight is gone, and then all of a sudden the lights shut off and the light comes over here. And all of the attention comes off of this scene onto this scene. When he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, he said, they stop noticing your strength. They stop noticing your ability. They stop noticing your talent, and all of a sudden everything that you're doing is giving glory to God. The Bible says it like this, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The reason God calls us to do things that we can't do is because people know of our incapabilities. They know of our insufficiencies. And so when somehow it still gets done, they know it can't be us. Nehemiah began building a wall. There's no way that it could be built. And to top it all off, they had to fight off insurgents while they were doing it. They had a sword in one hand and a tool to build in the other. But somehow that wall got built. But when they got done, they didn't say, man, those Jews are good carpenters. They didn't say, wow, they have such an ability to create and to restore things. But they said, surely this work is wrought of God. I don't really care what God calls me into, as long as I know that he's going to equip me to do it. Paul said, I'm thankful that I'm counted worthy being put into the ministry. But not only was he counted worthy, but he said he also enabled me. If God calls you to something, he will enable you. He will give you the ability to bring it to pass. So Simeon had a plan. And Simeon was doing things to enact that plan. Simeon was active. He was working in the Sanhedrin. But activity isn't a substitute for purpose. Just because you're doing something doesn't mean that you're in the will of God. And so many, see, there was a whole group of people that believed that activity was all that counted. They were called the Pharisees. Over 600 laws of things that they were doing. Things that they were enacting to try to make themselves feel religious. But activity is not a replacement for purpose. And it doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter how much you do. If you're not fulfilling God's purpose for your life, then you are a failure. One man said it like this, to succeed at anything other than God's will is to be a successful failure. I don't want to succeed at my plans. I don't want to succeed at my ambitions. I want a godly vision for my life. I want to know what God's dreams are for me. Because the fact of the matter is, God has a plan for each and every life in here. God has a plan for you. The fact that you're a part of this local body of believers, God has a place for you in this church. God has something that he desires for you to be doing and for me to be doing. God has plans for each and every one of us, but we have to allow him to show us that plan. We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and do what we've never done before. What is it that one man said? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We want things to change, but we don't want to change nothing. We want things to be different and better, but we don't want to have to work for it. God, give us not just a curiosity or a desire to see things change, but a boldness to step out. something deep inside of us that says, you know what, I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not satisfied with what I've always had and where I've always been. But I know that there's more. I know God wants to do something bigger in my generation. That God wants to do something bigger in my life. And I'm not going to sit here and be satisfied with anything less. So Simeon, doing what he does as a member of the Sanhedrin, and a lot of the commentaries that I read believe that Simeon was a scribe. One commentary that I read, I don't know where they got it, but he's a lot smarter than me, and so I just believed it, and I'm going to say it to you, and I hope you believe it too, and I hope it's right. But he said that he was copying the book of Isaiah. As his duties as a Sanhedrin, he was being a scribe for the book of Isaiah, and if you've ever done any research on that, it's just amazing the lengths they had to go to copy the scriptures, to make sure there were no errors, and there was no discrepancies between all of the transcripts that were handed down, and they didn't copy word for word, they copied letter for letter. If you got hundreds of pages into it and realized you made a mistake, you didn't just fix that page, you had to go back and start all over. Sounds terrible to me. But just all of the links that they went to make sure that they knew this was the way that God spoke it to the prophet. And so Simeon, in doing his duties, he's going throughout the book of Isaiah, copying the scriptures, and got through the first 6 chapters, no problem. He's following dad's footsteps, doing what he wants to do, trying to see the plan that he wants for his life come to pass, and here he's going well. But then he hit Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, the Bible says that, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And Simeon thought to himself, wait a minute, there must have been a problem. That's not possible. That can't happen. Virgins don't conceive. See, there's going to be a time, and I know that I'm a young guy telling all you guys, and I'm sure you've lived this 100 times over, but just bear with me. There comes a time to when your logic and God's will cease to coincide. It doesn't make sense anymore. God, this can't be what you're speaking to me, because it won't work. The money's not there. The talent's not there. The ambition's not there. The church isn't big enough. The town's not big enough. The people won't respond. This can't happen, because logic and God's will don't always coincide. In fact, almost all the time, God's will take you beyond your logic. God will take you past what you can understand and what you can comprehend. The Bible says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what? All that we could ask or think. Our logic can't contain God. We can't understand the complexity and the power of God. There are things about God that I don't understand, and you know what? I don't want to, because if I could understand Him, then I could maybe get a grasp of how great He is. But the mystery of God, the mystery of His power, the mystery of His goodness, the mystery of His mercy, it keeps me captivated. His will calls us beyond logic. His will calls us beyond capabilities. But Simeon reads this, and it's not that he doesn't want to believe it. It's that he can't believe it. It doesn't make sense. But in the next verse in our text, the Bible says, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. I don't know how it happened. We don't have record of whether a great light shone from heaven, or whether an angel came in the room, or whether an audible voice spoke to him. I don't know how it happened, but somehow God spoke to Simeon and said, before you die, you're going to see the baby that's being talked about in Isaiah chapter 7. Before you breathe your last breath, you will see the consolation or the salvation of Israel. And so in this moment, Simeon's plan is overtaken by Simeon's destiny. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of working on my plans. Because maybe I'm just unlucky, but my plans never work. It seems like I make all these plans, and I start doing them, and everything's going good for a while, and then somehow they all come crashing down, and I'm left with nothing. So I've decided I'm done with my plans. I want to know what God's plan, what God's destiny for me is. He said, for I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. God has something He wants to do in each and every one of us. I want to know His plan for my life. So Simeon inherits a destiny through this revelation from God. And like I said, it's hard to believe. God's plan is hard to understand. But Simeon understood that the God who spoke to him, it wasn't just that there was an errancy in the scriptures, but now God himself had revealed to him that this was going to take place. God had showed him, you will see what this prophecy is about. So he had the word of God straight from God. And we need to stop living off of third-party information from God. We need to stop having an experience and embarking on things for God because we've read about it or because pastor has told us about it or because so-and-so has played an influential role in our life and has said God wants to do this for you. But we need a personal encounter with the power of God where he reveals to us, not through someone else, not through our father, not our mother, not our brother, not our sister, not anybody else but me, that God has a plan for me spoken to me by him. It's really hard for the devil to discourage you from doing the will of God when you've heard it straight from God. It's really hard for the devil to say it's not real whenever you've had God speak directly into your life and drop it directly into your spirit that he wants you to do this. It's really hard to allow the enemy to steal that from you. We need personal encounters with God, like Simeon had. So Simeon begins to work and act as if it's going to take place. Even though it was unbelievable. Because Simeon's understanding of who God was outweighed his disbelief of what God said. And we need to come to that place to where we are so enamored and we are so confident in the God that we serve that we don't care how unbelievable what he says to us is. We don't care how daunting the task that he gives us is. If God said for me to do it, I'm going to do it. And not only will I do it, but it's going to be accomplished by his power, by his grace. So Simeon had a plan. And then Simeon found his destiny. But also I want you to notice Simeon's faithfulness. Because the Bible says in the next verse that then Simeon went to the temple. And I believe that in that verse we see the daily routine of Simeon from this day forward. I believe every day he went to the temple expecting for this to be the day that he saw the fulfillment of the prophecy that God had given him. This was going to be the day that he saw the consolation of Israel. This was the time when finally he would see the fulfillment of the prophecies for hundreds of years, that finally he would see what God had told him he would see. And we don't know how old Simeon was, but the context of our verse lets us know that he probably wasn't a young man. I don't believe God revealed this to him and the next day he saw Jesus. I personally believe that it was decades that Simeon went to the temple every day. Went throughout his routine every day. Did the same thing over and over every day. And you know what? I'd imagine it got pretty old. See, again, I'm just going to be transparent. Sometimes it gets old to do what God's told you to do. Sometimes it's not the most enticing thing in the world to come to church on Wednesday night when it's snowing outside. Sometimes it's not the most enticing thing in the world to get up and read your Bible and pray. Sometimes it's not the most enticing thing in the world to do what God told you to when you've been doing it for years and haven't seen the results that you think you ought to see. Because see, we think that if God doesn't do it the next day, it's not going to be done. If God doesn't do it in our time frame, then it's impossible. But God is looking for someone with faithfulness. The Bible, Paul talks about it like this. He said, working with patient continuance. Doesn't that sound fun? Patient continuance. That's an exciting lifestyle. Like I said, I don't have very much patience. I don't like to wait. And so sometimes me and the will of God don't get along too well because God's not about immediate gratification. He's not about making us feel good in the moment, but God's about bringing us, like I said before, to an expected end. So Simeon embarked with faithfulness, started acting with faithfulness, started going every day, doing the monotonous things. But you know, sometimes the monotonous breeds the miraculous. We read in Acts where Peter and John were going to the temple to prayer meeting, just like they had done every day. 3 o'clock prayer meeting wasn't anything important, wasn't anything special, wasn't going to be a great revival, wasn't going to be a conference. They were going to prayer meeting. Probably weren't that excited about it. It had been 3 weeks since the upper room experience where the power of God had come down and filled every believer with the Holy Ghost, and Peter had gone out and preached and saw salvation. And while they were thankful for adding to the church, they were thankful for all of that, they had a promise from Jesus that they would have signs and wonders following them. And so this Holy Ghost, while it was good and it made them feel good and they were seeing conversions, it wasn't all it was cracked up to be to them. They thought they were supposed to see signs. They thought they were supposed to see exploits. But here they are, 3 weeks later, going to the temple, going to prayer meeting, nothing's changed. But that same spirit that Peter felt that day in the upper room, he felt quicken him and say, why don't you go talk to that guy that's sitting over there? And went up and he said, I don't have any silver and gold, but such as I have, give I thee. You know what Peter had? He had a promise. He had a promise that these signs and greater will you do. And when he said that, that man got up walking and leaping and praising God because Peter and John did the monotonous and God provided the miraculous. I believe that if we continue doing what God has told us to do, even though it does contain monotony, even though it seems old, I believe that there will come a time that God will reward the faithfulness of his people. We've got to continue to believe that God is going to make it happen. So Simeon had faithfulness. And I'm almost done. Also, we see that Simeon saw fulfillment. Came one day that Simeon was doing his daily duties just like he always had. And all of a sudden, a young couple came in the temple. They probably weren't much to look at. Probably poor. Couldn't even afford a lamb. Probably had to use a turtle dove for the dedication of their child. And can you imagine as Simeon, and again, this is speculation, I don't know. But this young couple talking to a priest, saying, we need to dedicate our child. Joseph saying, really, he's only theoretically my child. Really, he was born of the Holy Ghost. And really, this is the Son of God. And I can see that priest saying, you're borderline on heresy. And Simeon saying, let me take this one. And that's, the Bible says that Simeon was full of the Holy Ghost. And I can see Simeon having that spirit urge him and saying, that's the one. And so Simeon goes up to this young couple. And the Bible says, and this just encouraged me and gripped me so much. The Bible says that Simeon took the baby in his arms. Can you imagine that moment? All the years of waiting. All the years of anticipation. All the years of doing the same thing over and over and over and over. All the years of going with no results. And in one moment, finally, wrapping your arms around the promise of God. See, there is a day that will come that faith turns into fulfillment. If we'll continue working, if we'll continue believing and understanding that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, there is a day coming to where we won't be worrying about anything else, but we'll finally be holding the tangible manifestation of the promises of God. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So many times we start fainting way too early. We start quitting way too early because God is not done. We have an entire nation that is fainting. That is saying, you know what, it's way too far gone. God's going to send judgment. And believe me, I know America deserves judgment. But you know what, I'm not ready to give up on my nation yet. I'm not ready to give up on my generation yet. I still believe that God wants to send revival. And you know what? Maybe He'll do it through a young 23-year-old guy that's dumb enough to believe that he's able to. Maybe He'll do it through a small church in eastern Kentucky. Maybe if God could get some people that were willing to say, I don't care what I look like or how dumb I look for believing, I'm going to have faith. Because someday, if God can find people with faith, I believe that fulfillment will come to the promises of God. Simeon saw fulfillment. I don't know what dreams God's given you. I don't know what God has shown you that He wants to happen in your life. Maybe it's not in ministry. Maybe it's a dream for your family. Maybe it's a dream for your marriage or for your finance. I don't know what God has shown you. But don't you dare let the enemy tell you that the dreams that God has given you are impossible. Because God is able to do the impossible. In fact, not only is God able to, God frequents the impossible. It's not uncommon for God to do what is impossible. When I was 7 years old, I had seizures on our way to, we were going to Florida for vacation. We pulled over to a hotel for the night. And all of a sudden, my eyes rolled back in the back of my head and I was convulsing. And I never had a seizure before, but I had a seizure. They took me to the hospital. They put me in a bed, and I was there till 2 o'clock in the morning. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I had another grand mal seizure. They diagnosed me with epilepsy, told my mom and dad that I would struggle with epilepsy for the rest of my life. I'd had vision problems as well. I wasn't going to be able to drive, and I was going to be an epileptic. Diagnosed me. Put me on medication. I took medication for 2 years. They told me that I would never be the same. 2 years later, after hundreds of thousands, probably prayers, that went up for me, they weaned me off that medicine. I've never had a seizure since that night. Because God does the impossible. My wife had problems with her blood when she was 16 years old. She was losing blood. They didn't know how. She was severely anemic. She had 3 blood transfusions in a matter of a year. They told her, they thought it was leukemia. It wasn't leukemia. They couldn't find what was wrong. Couldn't figure it out. They said, we can't diagnose anything. If we can't diagnose anything, we can't treat anything. Said she was always going to struggle with it. In fact, because of it, there was a problem with her. They said she may not be able to have children. But I remember we went to a service in Texas one day. We were down there visiting her grandma, and they laid hands on her and prayed for her. And I felt in my spirit that God spoke to me and said, I've healed her. Since that day, she's never had another problem with her blood. We have 2 baby boys sitting right down there because God is able to do what is impossible. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what the enemy has told you isn't going to happen. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm not just reading verses and saying they're going to happen, but I've lived it. I've seen the impossible come to pass. I've seen that God is able to do what man says can't be done. I've seen that God can make a way where there is no way. So don't you allow the enemy to keep you from pursuing what you want to pursue because you don't think it can happen, because God is able. He's capable. If he gave you a dream, if he's given you a revelation, it's God's way of beginning things. Everything you can read, there's a theme in Scripture. That many great things that took place began with a dream. Much of the prophecy that we have and that we go off of, the whole entire, the way we have diagnosed, and there's many different beliefs, but the way we've been able to somewhat understand the book of Revelation is through the prophecy of Daniel. And Daniel's prophecy was a dream. It gave us a window into prophecy. You read wherever, the reason that the Gentile church, the reason you and I are saved is because someone had a dream. The reason the gospel was made available to us was because Peter had a dream. The reason that Joseph became second in command was because God first gave him a dream. All throughout Scripture, you can pick time after time that God started a great and mighty work with a dream. So if God's given you a dream, you're in good company. If God's shown you something that you feel like he wants to do, I'm telling you, that's the way God begins things. And my Bible says that he who hath begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it. If he has begun it, he will perform it. I love in Hebrews that it says Jesus, the author, but not just the author, and the finisher of our faith. God doesn't leave things undone. God doesn't do halfway. He doesn't just barely save us and wash our sins away. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. God is an all or nothing kind of person. So if he begins something in you, if he's given you a dream, I'm telling you, the reason he gave you that dream, the reason he's given you that revelation, is because he desires to fulfill it. He desires to make it come to pass. But we have got to give him an avenue to work through. The reason Simeon found his destiny was because God interrupted him one day in the middle of his task. We've got to allow God to interrupt us. We can't expect for God's will to come to pass and our lives to remain the same. I'm open to interruptions tonight. I'm open to God speaking to me in whatever capacity he wants to. Because I believe that where there's faith, there one day will be fulfillment. I want us to stand tonight, and Brother Jarvis, I'm going to turn this back over to you. Before we do, I want to pray a quick prayer. I want us to bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the fact that you are a God that honors his promises. Oh, Lord, if you've given a dream tonight, if you've spoken to us, Lord, and you've said it's going to happen, or you've inclined us, Lord, to step out on a journey that we don't feel like we're capable of seeing come to pass, Lord, I ask that you would encourage us and help us to know, Lord, that if we are able to believe, if we're able to trust that you are a God that's going to do it, Lord, that you are well able, that you're more than capable of doing what you've promised, Lord. I ask, Jesus, that you would give us a vision from you. Lord God, that you would give us a vision for our church, Lord, a vision for our lives. Lord, give us a dream. Hallelujah, Lord. Begin a good work in us tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're believing you. We're trusting you. In that precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.